Welcome everyone. So in my presentation I will cover the following points. So the importance of my study, the materials and methods, the results that I got, and I will conclude. So what is the importance of my study? So nowadays we talk about the scarcity of available water resources, which is compounded by the climate change in different parts of the world. These two components will lead to a critical situation in the future, which will greatly affect our the growth and the yield and the quality of our crops. So there are other factors that can affect the growth, yield, and the quality of our crops, such as the irrigation scheduling. How much water do we apply? When do we apply? What is the frequency? Also, there is another factor related to the fertilizer management. How much fertilizer do you apply? When do you apply them? With which method? What is the status of your soil, the pH of your soil? All those factors can affect greatly the quality and the yield of your crops. So the weed management also and the pest and disease control can increase or decrease the growth, the yield and the quality of our crops, which will greatly affect the sustainability of our cropping systems and the profitability of our crops. So among those crops, we find corn. Corn is common, that is the number one crop in the world. In this chart, we can see the, as an example, is the US corn usage in 2014 and 15. So here I just want to highlight that 38% of the corn production is used for the ethanol production. Also, I want to highlight that almost 40% of the corn production is used to feed animals. So you can see now how important is the corn used to feed animals. So, however, the production of corn for silage requires high water and nutrients requirements. So, and also those inputs are very costly, especially in area with limited water resources, such as the ones that we have in Wyoming. So, how can we face those challenges and produce high crop yield and quality corn for silage in this situation? So to answer those questions, I initiated my study with this goal to find the best or the optimum nitrogen and irrigation combination to maximize growth, yield, and the quality of corn for silage. So to address this goal, I come up with these two objectives. The first one is to determine the effects of irrigation and nitrogen on yield and quality of corn for silage grown under two irrigation strategies. The second one is to determine the quality response to different nitrogen and irrigation levels. So with that, I initiated my study at the University of Wyoming Research and Extension Center, located in the northwest of Wyoming, as you can see in the dot, in the black dots in the map. So I conducted two studies. The first one was under a subsurface drip irrigation system, and the second one was under the on-surface drip irrigation system. So for my treatments, I had two factors. The first one was irrigation, 100 crop evapotranspiration, 80 crop evapotranspiration, and 60 ETC. So the nitrogen rates range from 0 to 360 kg nitrogen per hectare using urea ammonium nitrate. So I planted hybrid corn in two consecutive years. The first year, the planting date was on May 20th, and the harvesting date was on September 16th. But while the second year, I planted on May 21st, and I harvested on August 24th. So the experimental design of my study was a randomized complex block design in a split plot arrangement with four replications for the subsurface drip irrigation system. The irrigation was the main treatment, as you can see in this layout, and the nitrogen rates were the split plots. The same thing for the same design for the on-surface drip irrigation study with three replications. So for the data collection, I measured the dry matter yield at three vegetative growing stages, V4, V8, and V12, also at anthesis, VT, and at harvest, which was at late R3 and the beginning of R4. For the quality parameters, I measured the crude protein fibers such as acid detergent fiber, neutral detergent fiber, in vitro dry matter digestibility, relative feed value, and total digestible nutrients at harvest using the near-infrared reflectance spectroscopy. So what did we find? The major findings that we got for the first study, which was under the subsurface drip irrigation system, here in this graphic, you can see the dry matter yield in the y-axis regressed on different nitrogen rates for different irrigation treatments. So here you can see that the yield starts to increase as long as we add the nitrogen for different irrigation treatments, and it reaches a maximum here at 180 kilogram nitrogen per hectare. And then beyond that, it starts to be constant, and it shows a slight decrease here in this rate. So, and also I want to mention here that the 80% and 100%, the LSD mean separation in SAS showed that they are not significant. So here in this graphic, I regressed the dry matter yield on different growing stages. So here we see that in the first growing stages, there is no differences among my treatments, but the variability starts to be high after at VT and beyond. So the same thing here, you can see that the 80% and the 100% treatments, they are overlapping and they are close to each other. So the second one, the same pattern was observed for dry matter regressed on the stages for different nitrogen rates. More variability was observed at harvest and at VT. So for the quality parameters here, you can see that in the y-axis, the crude protein regressed on different nitrogen rates. So we saw more crude protein content in the leaves and less crude protein content in the stem, and an in-between content of crude protein in the ear. So the composite sample, which was the combination of the three parts of the plant, were in the middle. So the response was slightly different among my nitrogen rates. The same pattern was observed for the fiber contents as well as for the total digestible nutrients. So in this table, we can clearly see that there is a difference among my nitrogen rates for the fibers. So with low nitrogen rates, we have a high content of fibers, and in the opposite, the total digestible nutrients, which was for the total digestible nutrients, it was higher for the 270, and it was lower for the lowest nitrogen rates. For the crude protein, as long as we add nitrogen, we saw that an increase in crude protein content. For the second study, we saw this, which is under on-surface drip irrigation system, we saw the same pattern. So as long as we add nitrogen, there is an increase also in the yield. So and reached a maximum here at 180, and it started to slightly decrease beyond 180. I forgot to mention that each line of this irrigation and nitrogen rate here, it's an average of 2 years of data. So here also, there is an increase of dry matter yield for as long as we are going through the growing season. And here, it shows a slight decrease at VT. So it's a noise. So here also, the same pattern was observed for the nitrogen rates as I mentioned for the first study, which was under the subsurface drip irrigation system. For the quality analysis, it shows the same pattern for the fibers and the total digestive nutrients. And here in this table, we can see that for different irrigation treatments, I have some significant difference here in high temperature and low moisture. So there is a high EDF content, fiber content, which makes sense because when the plant is under low water content, it starts like to invest, tends to invest more in the structural growth, which is fiber. So here is the for the total digestive nutrients is the opposite for the fiber contents. So to conclude, I can say that there is no nitrogen and irrigation interaction effects on yield and quality, and the optimum yield was obtained between 180 and 270 kg nitrogen per hectare. The yield was influenced by irrigation in both years. The irrigation and nitrogen influenced dry matter from anthesis, and the nitrogen rate affected the acid detergent fiber, crude protein, total digestible nutrients for the subsurface study, and affected the acid detergent fiber and total digestible nutrients for the on-surface drip irrigation study in 2015. So we saw also more crude protein in leaves, more fibers in stems, and more total digestive nutrients in ears. So for further research, I will conduct the same experiments under the same irrigation systems with the same data collection to confirm those results. Thank you. Yes.
Why do you think there was an effect of in the subsurface of irrigation in 2015 in the area?
I think that in general the trend that those quality parameters are fixed in the plant, so they are not like they are not affected by the irrigation and nitrogen. Even the ones that show that there is a slight difference, if you pay a slight attention to the p-value, was in between 0.05 and 0.01. So I think there is not a huge difference in terms of the quality parameters in general. So that's yes. So for the on-surface, I have more differences between the 80 and 100%, probably because in the on-surface, when you apply water in the surface, there is a high chance that water can run off. So that's one of the reasons why I saw that there is a difference between the 80 and 100 in the on-surface. However, in the subsurface, you apply the water in 1 foot deep, so I didn't see much differences between the 80 and 100%. So, any other questions?
Any other questions?
Yes. Yeah, so to my knowledge, in the literature review, I found that in general, there is no interaction effect between irrigation and nitrogen. That's in general. So even in the preliminary results that I got in 2013, I didn't see any interaction between the irrigation and nitrogen. So to my knowledge, I know that like when you give more water to the plants, the leaves will expand and they will absorb more nutrients from the soil. So that's the kind of the mechanism that I know that it might show that there is an interaction between irrigation and nitrogen. So, but I didn't see that even in 3 years of results. So I didn't see that. So.
Yeah. Here.
Yes.
Why did you choose
Actually, I didn't present all my data. So I presented, I measured many quality parameters like the relative feed value and in vitro dry matter digestibility after 30 hours. But I just presented the TDN just as an example here. So as an example that because I saw some slight differences. That's all. Yeah.
All right, in order to stay on time, we probably need to be moving on. Let's thank our speaker.